Welcome to the Oxford University United Methodist Church podcast, where each week you'll find new sermons from both our traditional service and our more contemporary journey service. For more information about our church or to contact us, please visit OUUMC.org. And as always, thanks for listening.
We're in the middle of a series after Easter, A Skeptic Looks At, and what we've been doing is looking at some of the big questions of faith. And this is really a series designed around the questions that maybe some of you have or some of your friends or family members have that really kind of pull them away from belief, struggles about whether or not any of this is true. And we've looked at resurrection and prayer, and last week we looked at scripture. And this week we look at one of the big questions of life. How do we understand suffering and injustice and at the same time hold on to an understanding of a good God? So let's pray as we prepare to look at that. God, it is your goodness that we cling to in our days, but some days that goodness is hard to see and know and find. And so there are seasons of life when we ask, how long? How long, O Lord? So this morning, God, lead us. Speak to us. Once again, we pray that you would offer to us hope. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. You know, there's some questions that when people ask them, it takes the air out of the room. And that was the case when a middle-aged mother asked her question to a room full of people, but really to no one in particular. And her question was this: why did God do this? Why did God do this? This was the loss of her 21-year-old son in an accident. The son that had fought through years of addiction, finally getting clean, finding sobriety. This was the son who had cleaned up his life enough to finally enlist in the army and had a career in front of him. This was the son that was out of darkness and finally into the joy and light of life. And yet the son whose car swerved into a bridge. And the next day he died in ICU. Why, O God? She wondered where God was, how God could be. And what I find as a pastor is that while there are some people who pull away from faith, who walk away from Christ because of doctrinal questions, or maybe sometimes questions about how to interpret certain scriptures, I find that most people walk away, pull away from God for more personal reasons. For moments in life when they feel like God has disappointed them, or God has abandoned them, or God has abandoned a certain situation. And in those moments they wonder, well, if we've got such a good God, is God not powerful enough to stop the pain and suffering of this world? Or they wonder, if our God is so powerful, does God just not care enough to do anything about what we see in our world? And sometimes these questions arise for personal reasons, but sometimes these questions simply arise because of what we see going on in the world around us. This week, a stabbing at a university in Texas. We see images of families, innocent families in Syria, victims of this long-running civil war in that country. We hear news reports about famine in Eastern Africa that is threatening to take an entire generation. We see the anger and the vitriol in our own society, people at each other seemingly all the time, often driven by religious views. And we wonder, how can this be? Where is God in all of this? And when all of this begins to pile on, it gets real easy to stop trusting in God. Or maybe it gets real easy to just stop believing in God at all. And if we're honest, then we Christians have to admit that a lot of times it's the things that we tend to say in those moments that drive people away. Think about the things that well-intentioned, well-meaning Christians sometimes say when something difficult happens, when someone loses someone, when someone is diagnosed with a disease, well-meaning people say, well, everything happens for a reason. Or it was just meant to be. Or we don't always understand God's will. It must have been their time. Or it's a part of God's plan. And those well-intentioned, well-meaning words, what they often do is they leave people wondering, what kind of God gives my friend a disease? What kind of God takes my parent before their time? What kind of God is it that causes my parents to divorce? And often the picture that we Christians tend to paint with simple phrases that we offer because we don't know what else to say sometimes, or we're trying to console someone, often the picture that our words paint is of a God who is mean or malicious or just not trustworthy. Bart Ehrman, who's a professor at the University of North Carolina, his journey as a human went to this point where all of these questions finally drove him away from faith. Bart Ehrman was raised in a Christian home. When he went to college, he was active in Campus Crusade. After college, he went to seminary. He was a pastor. He taught in a seminary. But it was these questions around suffering and injustice. He just couldn't make it all fit. And so he walked away from the faith. And he wrote about his journey in a best-selling book, God's Problem, a book that resonated with people all around the world. How do you make sense of suffering and injustice and the goodness of God? What do we have to say? What can we say? This is where the Psalms, in the middle of our Bible, are so helpful to us. In the Psalms, we find people who write in every possible situation in life. Some of them, Psalms are written after someone has sinned or made a grave mistake. Some of the Psalms are written to celebrate what God is doing. But some of the Psalms are what we call Psalms of complaint. These are Psalms where people actively complain against God. And what happens in these Psalms is people over and over lay it all out. Every possible fear, every possible word of anger against God, every anxiety that they have, they put it out there in these Psalms of complaint. And Psalm 13 is one of these Psalms. And here's how it begins. Let me read it for you again. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? The Message, which is a paraphrase of Scripture, says it this way: long enough, God, you've ignored me long enough. And what we hear in these first few verses of Psalm 13 is we hear anxiety and we hear pain and we hear fear and we even hear anger in these words. And we don't know what caused the psalmist to write these words, but here's the thing about these words. They connect with us, don't they? They describe how we feel at moments in life. Maybe how some of you feel right now. How long, God? God, have you forgotten me? God, answer me. And what happens here is that for the first two-thirds of this psalm, we get this kind of complaint where the psalmist demands, God, answer me now. But then in the last two verses, the psalmist turns. And it's in this turn, I think, that we can begin to hear what maybe our hearts need to hear when we face the darkness of life. When we face the trouble and the pain of loss in life, when we wonder and worry if there's a God at all, this is what we hear in verse 5. But I trusted in your steadfast love. Steadfast love. After all this complaint, the psalmist comes back to professing, believing in God's steadfast love. But here's what we miss here. The word that is translated as steadfast love is this grand and beautiful Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew word that doesn't really just mean steadfast love, but it's one of those words in the Bible that we don't have an English word for. So this is what the word actually means. It means loyal, steadfast, merciful, compassionate, faithful, kind, devoted love. It's describing a love that is passionately for someone or something. And the psalmist says, in this moment of desperation and darkness, but I still trust in your kind, compassionate, forgiving, merciful, passionate love for me. The psalmist knows at a very deep level that he will never get the answers to the question of why. But the psalmist also knows at a very deep level that he's got the answer to another question. The answer of who. Who will be for him? Who will be with him? Who will eventually come and meet him where he is? Who is on his side? And the psalmist can ask these desperate, difficult questions because at the end of the day, there's a small voice that reminds him that God is for him. But I trusted in your steadfast love. And right after that, we hear this. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Now, when we hear the word salvation, we tend to think of salvation how? Somebody getting right with Jesus, right? That's what we think about salvation in our world, in our time, in our culture. But salvation in the Old Testament had this beautiful sense that God was going to make new. That God was going to redeem and restore. Not that God was going to go backwards in time and restore what was old, but that God was going to do a new thing. And the psalmist proclaims that even in this dark moment, that there's trust that God is not done. Bernice was 75 years old when she stood before the congregation to tell her story. To tell her story about losing her daughter some 35 years before. And when she told the story of the loss of her daughter, you would have sworn that it had happened just the day before or the week before, because even after those decades, the pain was still real. The pain was still evident. It was there for her. But this is what she said about her experience. She said, but I found over time that now I understood the pain that others were going through. And when a child was hurt or killed, I found that I could speak to those parents in a way no one else ever could. I discovered that God could use me in ways I never dreamed of. God redeemed my pain. God redeemed my pain. What Bernice had discovered was salvation. That God had done a new thing in her. Bernice didn't believe that this horrible thing had happened for a reason. Bernice didn't believe that this was a part of God's plan. Bernice didn't believe any of that. But what she did believe is that God had taken this moment of significant brokenness in her life and had healed her in such a way that God could now use her to bring life and hope to others. Bernice believed in a God who brought life out of death, resurrection out of death. And what the psalmist offers to us is that message, that regardless of where we are, God is not done. A man named Cornelius Rimple was a Mennonite and a hospital chaplain for decades. And at the end of his career, he wrote about what he saw in all of his years working as a hospital chaplain, the joy and the pain, the suffering of it all. And this is what he wrote. He said, suffering is not God's desire for us, but it occurs in the process of life. Suffering is not given in order to teach us something, but through it we learn. Suffering is not given to us to teach others something, but through it they may learn. Suffering is not given to punish us, but sometimes is the consequence of sin or poor judgment. Suffering does not occur because our faith is weak, but through it our faith may be strengthened. God does not depend on human suffering to achieve God's purposes, but through it God's purposes are sometimes achieved. The will of God has more to do with how we respond to life than with how life deals with us. At the end of all things, what we have to say about suffering and God's grace and God's goodness is that there is a lot of it that we will never understand, that we will never get the answer to in this life. There's a lot of mystery to it. But what we can hold on to is that God is with us and God is not done. God is with us and God is not done. And maybe in the mysteries of life, that is enough. Let's pray. God, so often we desire and are desperate for so many different answers to the moments of life. May we trust in the one answer that you are with us. In moments we can't understand, in moments that will never make sense to us, when we gaze out across our world and see darkness and war and violence and hurt, may we always remember that you are not done, that you are God who seeks to bring salvation in the fullest sense of the word. May we cling to that. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've been blessed and challenged by today's podcast. Check back next week to hear the latest sermons from Oxford University United Methodist Church.